Thank you for that special. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 12. If we could learn to look to Jesus day by day. Sometimes we kind of think we've got it, and that's when we fall, but trust in Him day by day. John chapter 12, if you'd find your place at verse 31. Tonight I'd like to speak to you about walking while you have light. We're going to focus on verses 34 through 36. We're going to begin reading at verse 31. If you're able, let's stand together. Hope everyone had a good afternoon and is ready to hear from God tonight. Jesus says in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we do pray that you would give us understanding of your word, that you would illuminate our hearts and minds tonight. Give us ears to hear. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict us. And Lord, if there's one who is still in darkness, they've never repented of their sin and put their faith in Christ, I pray even tonight that they would humble themselves and receive the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to come out of the darkness and into your marvelous light, to walk in that light day by day by your grace, by your power, and by your Spirit. Father, we know that we are not able to do anything without you, and I pray that you'll just help us to look to you, to trust in you, and to walk with you tonight and every day of our lives. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me, Father, and that you'll work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I hope to remind you tonight of how vital it is to have light. And just to share with you a few ideas from the scripture tonight, I want you to notice in verses 31, 32, 33, Jesus, and we looked at this last week, he said the judgment was coming. He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And he said that signifying what death he should die. And I want you to see that the people who heard Jesus that day, they had an understanding of what he said, but their understanding was limited. They had a limited understanding. I think we suffer from that in theology today. I think that a lot of times we have part of the truth, but we don't have the whole truth. And I think a lot of error comes from limited understanding. This is why God calls us to search the scriptures. This is why God calls us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. This is why God has commanded us to teach the whole counsel of God, because we can't just take one part. We have to take the whole. And it's vital that we learn to do that. Notice their limited understanding. They clearly thought that the Son of Man and Christ were synonymous. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And the people said, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth ever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?" It's apparent to me that they equated Christ with the Son of Man. There was an understanding that they saw the Son of Man as Messiah, as the anointed one of God. They also clearly understood that Jesus had identified himself as the Son of Man. He said, if I be lifted up, then they said, wait a minute, we read in the Bible, we read in the scriptures, in the law that Christ abides forever, but you said the Son of Man must be lifted up. So they've equated Christ with the Son of Man, which is exactly right. And then they rightly got this. They understood that Jesus was identifying himself as Messiah, as the Son of Man. Everybody see that? So they got it. Christ is the Son of Man. Jesus has said that he is the one who would be lifted up, the Son of Man. And so now they see it. Christ is the Son of Man, and Jesus has said that he is the Son of Man, so he is the Christ. They had that understanding of what he had said. They also understood that by being lifted up, he meant that he would die. Listen, verse 33 is an explanation of what Jesus said. That's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that God revealed to John the Apostle. But listen, they got it too. He said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. But they understood what Jesus was saying is, I'm the Son of Man, and I'm going to be lifted up, meaning I'm going to die. So they understood that the Son of Man and Christ were synonymous. They understood that Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man. They also understood that Jesus was saying that he would die. But what they couldn't reconcile with what Jesus was teaching them was that their because of their partial understanding of the Scripture. They couldn't understand how that Christ, the Son of Man, Jesus, could be Christ and not live forever. They couldn't understand how that he would die. Now, I want to invite you to hold your place here, but flip over a little bit to the book of Acts chapter 2 and find verse 29. Acts 2 and verse 29. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Spirit of God descended. It lit upon everyone in the church that day as cloven tongues of fire. They all spake with the Holy Spirit, giving them utterance. And we know we have record of Peter's great sermon that day. And he says here in that sermon in Acts 2:29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. When he's preaching there that day about Jesus and the resurrection, he points back and says, listen, David prophesied of this. He knew that God was going to raise up his seed to be the throne on the throne forever, but he also prophesied that he would be in hell, that he would die, but he wouldn't stay dead, that he would go to Sheol, to the place of the dead, but he wouldn't stay there, he would be raised up again. So the patriarch David had an understanding. There was scripture to show us that Messiah would die, but that he would be raised again. And so these people had a limited understanding. They understood Christ, they understood the Son of Man, they understood his eternality, but they didn't understand that he had to die and to be raised again. And so this was what Jesus was trying to tell them and for them to understood, to understand. How is it? We've heard out of the law that Christ lives forever, but you're saying the Son of Man must be lifted up, the Son of Man must die. Who is this Son of Man? So they had a limited understanding. And I want to encourage you tonight that we always try to study the whole thing. It seems to me that most of the time when people get into error, they fixate on one verse, and they fixate on that verse to the exclusion of all other verses. It seems like when we get into error, we fixate on one verse, and oftentimes out of context, and we hold on to that without looking at the whole counsel of God. And so be careful. When you get latched onto something and get fixated on something, open up and look at other scriptures. Look at the context. Cross-reference it in other places in the Bible. I think it was Arthur Pink who said, the scriptures explain themselves. Listen, God's word will teach us what God's word means. And I'm thankful for good commentaries, and I'm thankful for good theologians and scholars who and can help us get some understanding and can help us with those things. But listen, God's Word and the Holy Spirit of God is really all we need. We have the Spirit of God, we have the Word of God, And so we want to make sure that we broaden our understanding, that we don't get tunnel vision and we don't latch on to one thing. Is it true that Christ would abide forever? That's true. But not to the exclusion that he would die. And so we have to learn, how do you reconcile that? And there are other Bible truths that we come up against, that we have a truth, but it's only a partial truth, and we don't want a partial truth, we want the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Did anybody just say, "So help me God," in their mind? Anybody else do that? Okay, just checking. So they had a limited understanding. And through Christ and through his Spirit, who he sent to us, he said he would teach us all things. He would guide us into all truth. So we're not limited. We don't have to have a limited understanding. We can be guided by the Spirit into all truth. Okay? Next, notice there was a limited opportunity. Look at Jesus' response. Their question, we heard that Christ abides forever. You're saying the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus' response in verse 35 is to tell them that they have a limited opportunity. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Yet a little while is the light with you. I want to tell you that I believe that the idea here that Jesus is giving of a limited opportunity is twofold. Number one, I believe Jesus is saying, I am going to the cross very soon. When I go to the cross, I will die, and I'll be buried. I'll be there for 3 days and three nights, and I'll rise again. But after that, I'm going to ascend up to my Father, and I'm going to be gone for an indeterminate amount of time. Your time for the light to be here with you is limited. And he's saying, you need to believe on me now. You need to start following me now while the light is with you. But I want to tell you that I believe the application of this goes beyond that, because our opportunity to follow Jesus wasn't limited to his physical life on this earth. Blessed are those which have not seen and yet have believed. And so limited opportunity applied to them literally, because Jesus was there for just a little while longer. But the light of the gospel will only shine to each person for a little while. Yet a little while is the light with you. I believe there's a little while because you only live a little while. You only live a little while. I was talking to my uncle this past week. He said, I'm 78 years and 3 months old. You know, most people don't count their lives in months after they're a year old. But he said, I'm 78 years and 3 months. And the reason I'm saying that is because the life expectancy for a man in America is 78 years and 6 months. Now, praise God, my uncle's a saved man, and I rejoice in that. Witness to him for a while, and he's not really been saved that long, and I'm so thankful that he knows the Lord, and he's ready, he's prepared. But he said, I'm 78 years and 3 months old, and so he figures that he's got a good 3 months left, and anything past that's really just bonus time. Right? Listen, I don't care if you live to be 78 years and 6 months. I don't care if you live to be 120 years. It's just a brief time. It's just a brief time. Help me out tonight. How many of you are 70 plus? Would you raise your hands? 70 plus. Don't be ashamed. Hold your hand. I mean, you've lived for over 70 years. You ought to be proud of that. People, like, I go to teen camp with these kids. They're all making fun of me for being the old man. I'm 42. I'm, like, ancient. And I tell them every time they try to make fun of me, I'm like, listen, the only reason I'm 42, I've made it 42, is because I haven't died yet. That's profound, isn't it? Listen, I'm just saying, 42 years has gone by in a blur. Like, I don't know what happens, but once you get out of high school, you, like, hit hyperspeed or something. Like, it just goes by faster and faster and faster and faster. Every year, every month, it seems like it's just going quicker and quicker and quicker by. And I'm telling you, no matter how long you live, you just have a little while. And all the kids here are like, no, I don't know, man, because school's about to start and it takes forever to get out of school. And that's the way it was. I remember how it was. I didn't think summer would ever come. Anybody else feel like that? Yeah. Sister Kendra, God bless you. I just, I'm just trying to tell you that the opportunity is limited to walk in the light. The light of the gospel only shines to every person for a little while. You only have a little while on this earth. You only hear the gospel for a little while. You are only drawn by the Father, drawn by the lifted up Savior, drawn by the Spirit's reproof for a little while. And when you hear the Word of God, you ought to respond to the Word of God. And when you're convicted by the Spirit of God, you ought to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And when you hear the gospel, when you are drawn by the gospel, when you see the lifted up Savior and He's drawing you to Himself, it's time to follow Him. It's time to walk in the light. You have to do it now because you might not have tomorrow. Walk in the light while you have the light. So there's a limited opportunity, then there's a looming darkness. Listen, Jesus says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now, there's a spiritual application here, and it's a very easy application. Have any of you ever tried to walk around outside at night when it's pitch black? Have any of you ever tried to get up in the middle of the night and walk through your own house in the dark? Things aren't where you think they are. How many of you have nearly ripped off your little baby toe? All right. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? Listen, I'm just telling you that walking in the darkness is dangerous. This picture that the Lord gives us, we can all relate to it. Every time I read these verses, I think about when I was a kid and I would go over to my aunt's house that was just across the way, but you had to kind of walk through the woods. And I played in those woods all day long. I practically lived in those woods when I wasn't in school. But there was something strange that happened when it became dark outside. Those woods in which I spent so much time became a terrifying place. And I was never, ever, ever smart enough to have a flashlight. I mean, we had flashlights, but I never had one. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't a very quick kid, but I made it pretty quick through those woods running back home at night. Right? Because you can't see where you're going. You don't know what's there. And the Lord says, listen, walk while you have light, unless darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I just want to remind you, we ought to have some compassion for the lost people out there because they're living like lost people. You say they're just stumbling around like they don't know where they're going because they don't know where they're going. They're in darkness. Spiritually, they're in darkness. They stumble around because they can't see. They don't understand. They don't have light. God made a division between the light and the dark early on. Genesis 1, 3 and 4. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And listen to this. God divided the light from the darkness. That's what we call foreshadowing. Listen, there wasn't sin in the universe yet. Darkness wasn't necessarily evil at that point. But from the very beginning, God was foreshadowing and saying, I'm making a division between light and darkness. There's a difference between what's light and what's dark. And there would come a time when sin would come into this world and darkness spiritually would overshadow everything in creation. But God said, I am light. 2 Samuel 22, 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Listen, it's not complicated. In the world, there's darkness. In yourself without Christ, there's darkness. But when you make the decision to turn from yourself, to turn from sin, to turn from unbelief, and to turn to Jesus, you have light. Amen. Making the decision to follow Jesus brings you into the light. And how glorious is that light? Amen. No more darkness anymore. You can walk in light through Jesus. But the darkness is there, and you are in darkness without Christ, and the darkness is something that is still around us in this world. And we have the opportunity to walk in light. But the problem is, men love darkness. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? This is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, we share the gospel with people, and I believe that the scriptures are clear. You have to repent, you have to change your mind, and you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I believe it takes repentance and faith. It's repentance and faith. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what John the Baptist preached, what Jesus preached, what Peter preached, it's what Paul preached. It's all through the scriptures. It's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I talk to people and they say, you know, I've tried that, I've heard that, but they're not really saved, I always tell them, I said, there's one of two things. Either you haven't truly repented, you've got a problem with repentance, or you've got a problem with faith. And I'm going to tell you, I believe almost every account, it's really not about the faith, it's about the repentance. Most people are prideful and they have some sin that they don't want to let go of, and they're holding on to that sin all their way to hell. They're clinging to that darkness rather than letting go of it and embracing the light. See, people who say they're atheists or agnostic, they don't really have a mental problem with God. It's not a scientific problem with God. They have a sin problem. They don't want to admit their guilt before God. They don't want to give up their sin. And so they'll hold on to their sin all the way to the flames of hell. I just want to tell you tonight, you have a limited opportunity, but there is a looming darkness. I think it's an amazing truth when you look in the scriptures that God describes hell in the lake of fire as a place of flame and a place of torment, but he always describes it as a place of darkness. God calls it outer darkness. I read about people before who were trapped in caves and then they lose light. Remember hearing about a little boy who was lost in a cave back when they used to go through the caves with candles. Some of you imagine this. Have any of you ever gone through one of those cavern tours? Ever done that? Man, I love those things. I think it's neat. I just think of any way you can explore God's creation is awesome. I like going in the cavern, seeing what's underneath. I like flying in airplanes and seeing what's up there. And I just think all of it's there's just different ways to experience it all. And I think it's awesome. But I remember going in a cavern when I was younger and they turned out all the lights. I mean, that's crazy dark. That's like you can feel it dark. And I just wonder, anybody ever done that where they turn out all the lights? Did anybody have a little bit of panic? Maybe a whole lot of panic? Like, put the lights back on or somebody's going to die, right? So there was a little boy back in the days. I just can't even imagine this, but they would do cave tours. And the way they did it, they gave everybody a candle. And they lit the candle. And you just went off on your own to explore the cave. Can you imagine giving a little boy a candle and say, go on, son, have fun in a cave? Some of you won't even get a flashlight and let them go in the yard. Not sure they can make it back. But this little boy had gotten his candle and he'd gone down and he got and turned around and lost and he was alone and he didn't know what to do. So he just sat down where he was and hoped somebody would come. But after a while, that candle burned out. Can you imagine being alone in that kind of darkness? Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Listen, I'm just trying to tell you tonight, friends, that you are in darkness without Jesus. And there is a darkness that's coming that's worse than you can imagine. And Jesus is offering you light. He says, walk while you have light. I don't remember exactly how long it was. I think it was the next day or 2 days later, they found that little boy sitting in the same place. He never moved. He never moved. He stayed right there, and they found him and took him out of there safely. I've always thought about that little boy. I'm just telling you, in the darkness like that, I mean, it like gives me anxiety just thinking about it. Like, can you imagine after sitting in the dark for so many hours, when he saw the light? You imagine when he heard the voices calling his name? And do you understand that when I stand here and preach the word, and when you go out and you share Christ with others, that's exactly what we're trying to do? They're sitting alone in the darkness, and we're trying to bring the light, and we are calling their name. And that's exactly what Jesus has done when he was lifted up on the cross. He's shining his light. He's calling your name. He's saying, come to me. Follow me while you have time. It's a loving invitation. While you have light, believe in the light. that ye may be the children of light. You are a child of darkness. You are a child of Satan. You are a child of hell itself. But God has loved you, and He has saved you, and He has brought you into His marvelous light. He's made you a child of God, a friend of the King. Look at 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John 1, verse 5. What an amazing invitation. While you have light, believe in the light, you may be the children of light. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He brings you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light, and you have fellowship with Him in the light. You can walk with Him in the light. You can be in the light as He is in the light. Now, I tell you the truth, many times when I've read that, I thought, man, I don't know. I sure do spend a lot of time in the darkness. I feel like I'm always falling down and stumbling in the dark. But Jesus says that we can walk with Him, we can have fellowship with Him, and it's by His grace. You can't walk in the light in your own strength. We have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest before God, and when we mess up, we've got to fess up, confess our sins, so that He can keep us clean, and we can stay in close fellowship with Him. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, He does abide forever. It doesn't take away from the fact that He died so that you could live. He became sin for us, though He knew no sin, so that we could be brought into His marvelous light. Tonight I want to ask our musicians to come. I want to ask you to stand with me. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll take you out of darkness and bring you into His marvelous light. If you've never been saved, you could be saved tonight. You can trust in Him. It's not about what we do. It's not about being a member of a church or anything at all like that. It's about trusting in the One who died for you and rose again. Turn from your sin and believe in Him and enter into His light. And we are called to walk in His light. That means every step of every day, we're following the Spirit of God, what He's called us to do. If He's convicting your heart tonight, maybe you've been messing around in the darkness again, you've gone back to the darkness, maybe you need to come back to Him tonight. Whatever it is, if He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.